Innovation Minds presents At the Edge, a podcast about using innovation to empower and drive engagement. The nature of work has changed. Companies around the world are struggling to find the right balance in the new work-from-home hybrid paradigm. As much of the workforce begins to go back to the office after more than a year working remotely, how can leaders keep their employees engaged and collaborating successfully? In this podcast, we interview thought leaders from business and hear their stories and viewpoints on how to use innovation to engage the workforce, as well as how to innovate engagement.
I think back to when we had the global financial crisis, the meltdown and everything like that, after the financial crashes. We then had the skills shortage, and all these challenges affect everyone. But some companies do better than others. What are the business objectives? How has the world of work changed? How does your customer or client base changed? Are you changing your service deliveries? Are your revenue targets changing? All that sort of thing. You then work through your HR plan and whatever that may be. If you want to just work through every element of the employee life cycle, whether that's from hiring to firing, see how that's evolved, see how that's changed, what's the delta, and then make a plan for each one.
Ben Gagan is director of the HR Business Accelerator. He is also the producer and host of the A Better HR Business podcast and the group manager of Linked HR, LinkedIn's biggest HR group with over a million members. So Ben, thank you very much for being with us on At the Edge, and welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thanks very much for having me along. Great to be here.
Now, you have a long history in HR, both as a practitioner and now as someone who's guiding and coaching people in HR worldwide. And so I'd just like to start with a really simple question, which may not be so simple, which is, you know, what do you see as the big issues facing HR people and companies today?
Okay, so just ease me in gently there. Thank you, Michael. But yeah, I was reading a thing by Josh Burstyn the other day, and he was talking about a few big themes. And one is obviously a very tight labor market. So the great resignation's happening. It's also talking about the rise of HR technology. For me, that's kind of already happening. But he was sort of saying this is when it's really going to take off, I guess, because people are going remote, because there are all these sort of employer branding issues and employee engagement, and employee experience, life cycle stuff that technology can help improve, can fix some of these things. And I guess we can talk about that. And then there are some other sort of societal things, such as having gone through so much turmoil and upheaval, employees. He also mentioned inflation, actually, that it can make people feel uncertain and so on. So there's going to be a greater drive for security and predictability almost, or comfort. So security and employment's a big thing, which is a curious thing with the rise of the side hustle and all these sort of new ways of work. And then finally, his last one was around the changed role of HR. So in HR, everyone's always talking about, let's get a seat at the table. We've got to be involved driving business decisions. And some HR leaders do it brilliantly. And for them, it's just a natural way of doing work for them. But for plenty of others in the HR world, that's not the case. And they sort of feel like they're in that personnel department mode. And so it's an opportunity to, with the pandemic, it's an opportunity to sort of get that seat at the table. I'm an optimist. I see opportunities in some of the upheaval that we've all been through. So that's one thing about a greater likelihood of getting a seat at the table for the HR leaders and the HR people. But also I think on the opportunity side, there are ways that companies can use this upheaval to improve their internal and external marketing of their HR and employer branding side of things.
Let's start with the seat at the table thing, because obviously that is a big shift that's happened, is that people are understanding that HR has a role to play that's much more significant than it used to. What should they do with this seat?
So I'm an Aussie, right? So I did a stint when I was in university or in college for 3 months over the vacation break. I was working in the desert in a gold mine as the HR intern or the HR vacation student. And at the end of the summer, we all got together, all the students, the geologists, the chemists, all these sort of mining engineers got together, and we were giving out awards. It was at a pub, so it was not held in a great serious tone, I must say. But I got the HR Absolutely Effing Useless Job Award. And I showed that to my boss the next day at work, admittedly slightly hungover, but I showed that to him and he said, that's what HR needs to drive for. We've got to be completely business focused. So I remember my first ever HR manager job. I was in a same corporation, just different division, but it was a manufacturing division. And so I think a lot of HR roles just take sort of HR measurements, metrics to measure the role, such as days to fill vacancies, a number of training days held, whatever it may be, due to that early influence from the manager and those sort of joking awards and things like that. I think my first was the all injury frequency rate. So what impact can HR have on the injury rate? Because we want to make sure people stayed safe. Then there was the yield, so the productivity measure, and then the actual throughput. So yeah, almost like a balanced scorecard. And then the last one was an employee engagement type measure through surveying and stuff. But it was very data driven, but it was very business related. And I've kind of all my life, I've tried to encourage HR people to adopt some of those sort of measures. For me, that's how you get that seat at the table, is having that very clear link closely tied to what the business objectives are.
When you talk about data and using data to drive things, that's also become much more common. And obviously with the use of better technologies with AI and so on, how do you think people can use data well to drive things like engagement and make a better employee experience and actually make a better workplace for people?
If I'm having my little flashbacks to when I started, I mean, I did employee assessment centers, you know, hiring hundreds of people, and I would sit them and I'd get them to fill out questionnaires and things on pieces of paper with a pencil. But if you jump forward to now and you've got pulse surveys, you've got data online, you've got communication systems where people are just sitting at their desk and they've got a problem and they can, you know, have a chat with someone or they can look up internal databases. Like Innovation Minds, for example, you've got an opportunity to create hubs where you've got learning, best practices, communicate, everything just happening so quickly. And the joy of all of this is that it's just, like Josh Burstyn said, it's just growing faster and faster. And you think of anything in life these days, there's a new tech startup built around that, whether it's dog walking or if it's HR, whatever it may be, there's some aspect of the employee life cycle where there is something being built for that. Get it as close to real time as possible. So try not to rely on people having to do data entry to keep it live and moving. So there are, for instance, learning platforms whereby it takes a sales of a shop, a sales of a store, and feeds that into the system. And overnight, it produces learning plans. There's just so many opportunities to connect it all together. But I would say, yeah, connect it as close as possible to the front line without relying on people to having to enter stuff. Because you just know people are busy. They're not going to fill in boxes on a database and stuff. That's just going to fall by the wayside. So you've got to find a way of using APIs or connecting systems to the data you already have. And that's when people will really use it and love it. Like pulse surveys and stuff, if something pops up on their phone, they just push a button, it's done, easy. But now suddenly that data is being fed through and accumulating, and then you can employ machine learning, AI. I know you guys are big on that actually, but so many opportunities to use that sort of stuff and connect that into the other elements of the employee life cycle, whether that's learning development, performance management, management feedback, leadership development, et cetera. But if you think it's you take the employee engagement sector of the employee life cycle or the HR industry, back in the day, it was let's fill in the form, a survey, get everyone surveyed. You know, you do your slide presentation to the leadership team and you show them the results of an employee survey. I'm pretty sure pretty much 100% of that, of any time I've ever done that, you'll get some of the managers going, oh, hang on, no, that's an outlier. Something happened there. That's why I got a bad score in that. And then they'll start debating that it was because the photocopying machine broke down and so everyone was really annoyed that day and that's why they gave bad scores. And so, but ongoing live data connected in and just accumulating and building, you start to recognize patterns. How do we facilitate the people to become better individual contributors, better managers, better leaders, in a way that they've got the information when they need it and connect that through to different learning styles and opportunities such as bite-sized learning prompts in small formats to say, hey, it's probably time to have a think about this or a discussion with your team about that. Yeah, I mean, it's just such a wonderful opportunity. From a business perspective, from competitive advantage perspective, I think back to when we had that the global financial crisis, the meltdown and everything like that after the financial crashes. We then had the skills shortage and all these challenges affect everyone. But some companies do better than others. Right now, the great resignation. There are examples of employers doing things horribly wrong. And then there are other ones where they're doing it really well. And it doesn't necessarily mean let's give everyone unlimited PTO, personal time, leave, and the foosball tables and the beers and all that. There are so many ways to boost employee engagement, productivity, morale. You have to be proactive about it. And I'm seeing companies being proactive and I'm seeing ones that are doing it wrong. So that's a fork in the road for me. That's an opportunity or a loss for many different companies.
Is there anything you would specifically say to companies that they should do to be proactive that would actually turn the crisis into an opportunity for them?
For me, it's just, if you go back to that seat at the table and connecting to the business objectives, what are the business objectives? How has the world of work changed? How does your customer or client base changed? Are you changing your service deliveries? Are your revenue targets changing? All that sort of thing. You then work through your HR plan and whatever that may be. If you want to just work through every element of the employee life cycle, whether that's from hiring to firing, see how that's evolved, see how that's changed, what's the delta, and then make a plan for each one. So the hiring aspect is a huge change, or there's been so much change in this area. You have the potential to be hiring outside of your geographic area for the first time, potentially, for many businesses. How do you plan for that? How does that affect your remuneration? All those sort of things. So there absolutely needs to be planning to think through all the flow-on steps. Nothing operates in isolation. So you do need to connect all the dots together, tie that together with communication right now, and just say, look, we don't have all the answers right now because there is so much change. Honestly, we just don't have all the answers, but we're working through it, opening up lines of communications. I'd be jumping on Innovation Minds and getting people on there to communicate and get the employee engagement. Just opening up those lines of communication so that everyone's sort of able to have two-way communication, not just waiting for the CEO to do their next announcement.
Tell me more about the internal marketing part of this coming post-pandemic plan that we should all be thinking about.
I love that WIFM thing. It sounds like a radio station, WIIFM, but what's in it for me? And marketing internally or externally, it's still about you may have some service or an outcome desired, but to make that happen or to get the other party interested, you need to frame it in a way that what's in it for me, what's interesting to them, how does it benefit them? Sometimes HR people fall into the trap of talking about we need to boost employee morale or employee engagement or hire better people, whatever it may be, but don't always sell it internally in a way that really resonates with the business leaders. These business leaders or line managers, whatever it may be, they sometimes just hear, here comes another HR initiative. They do that thing in that HR function. You know, they always just come out with new projects and plans. So for me, it's almost getting them to come up with the idea first, you having planted the seeds for that to happen, of course, and you guide them in that direction. And then that's a way of putting what's in it for me into that internal marketing of the HR function, the HR projects, co-creating the plans, the initiatives and stuff, rather than just handing it down on hire from the HR functions, always the best way. If I take it back to that employee survey stuff that I was talking about earlier, whenever I ran an employee survey, I would typically have, you kind of know what's coming, right? I mean, if you haven't got your head in the sand, you know you're going to hear about communications or a particular technology is bugging everyone, whatever it may be. If you know that's going to come out in the survey, get ready for it. You know, have solutions lined up that the leadership group is on board with, even cost it out, or the CFO is allowed budget for that. You've allowed time for things to occur. And that way, when the survey results come out and people think, well, we're going to wait for the 6 months for the leadership group to do anything about it, they go, well, thanks for sharing that. It's really important. We're going to take action and we're going to start next week. Think of the impact that that has on the staff when they see you, A, doing the right thing, and B, doing it quickly.
What would you say are some other ways that HR, being proactive, seeing the future, knowing where things are going, how can HR exert influence?
Before, maybe I was sounding a bit like, was it Sun Tzu, the art of war, sneaking around and trying to trick people into HR best practice? But from in terms of HR making change happen and helping employees get a better life in the workplace and so on. At the most basic level, I've always felt that operational excellence, you got to do the little things right. And then that gives you the leeway, the permission almost to then do the grander things. And the grander things are really where stuff happens. Anyone has joined a company and they've had two experiences. One is they've arrived and they've almost forgotten you were starting that day, or the computer wasn't ready and the payroll wasn't set up, all that sort of stuff. Versus another company where you've turned up and you've been booked into meetings, you've had a breakfast to meet the team and lunch was already booked, you know, all that kind of stuff. Again, fork in the road kind of thing, opportunity versus loss. So the operational excellence aspect is just so crucial to get those processes working smoothly, because then you've got that reputation as just people who know what they're doing, they can get it done. And that's hard as the business scales and as you go remote, things like that. So as this change happens, get those things right. But going back to what Josh Burson was talking about with the changed role of HR, he was talking about how it's time to rethink the HR function as a professional services organization. So it's almost like a KPMG or Bain or someone where you've got your consultants, your product managers, your service delivery leaders, technology all rolled into one. And that way, new initiatives, or where you've scanned the market, the industry for best practice. So you've got a bit of a benchmarking. You realize you're in the lower quartile for turnover, employee turnover, or engagement levels, or productivity measures, things like that. It swings into action as a consulting organization and says, well, if we need to be at this upper quartile in our performance, what are the benchmarks, the milestones, what are the things we need to implement? Having done that, how do we communicate the change, etc.? So it's a lot of project management side of things. As to actually improving the life and the lot of the employee, again, I just go back to the full employee life cycle, that every element, A, needs that operational excellence bit. So when you're hired, it works smoothly. When you want to get a learning development or a personal development plan put in place, that there are opportunities or there's a structure for that and it just runs really smoothly, preferably using technology, and it's captured and it constantly evolves. There's just so many opportunities for personal development, coaching, learning and development these days that are connected to your HR systems. So it doesn't need to be a separate thing. Everything can talk to each other in terms of the HR tech side. Every aspect of that life cycle, there are ways to do it well and to do it poorly. So just execute with operational excellence and then look for best practice to layer on top of that. And that's how you start, you get the 1% increments on everything, which, you know, brings up the HR performance, brings up the people performance, and it should, if everything's connected, improve business performance and the results that the leadership team is looking for.
How would you say that HR as a whole, as an industry, how can HR innovate itself to embrace, you know, this situation most powerfully and really get that seat at the table to be meaningful? Like, what are some of the innovations you think HR should be looking at?
Well, if you think to these futuristic movies, maybe not Minority Report, Tom Cruise and all that, but in those movies, there's let's call it the detective or the star. They're sitting in an office or in their car or their spaceship, whatever it is, and they realize, I need some data on what's current performance in this element. They just push a few buttons and flick it onto the screen. Or they think, where's my team underperforming? Flick that up onto the screen. Okay, well, what about at the individual level? Flick that up onto the screen at the individual level. How do I communicate this? You don't need to, because that communication's already happening. You've got your company-wide benchmarks and targets. They're connected to the skills base or your talents and knowledge database, or, you know, whatever your benchmarks in are at the organizational level. And then at the individual level, how do they connect in? And then how do we connect that to the performance management so people are getting constant feedback, not the once a year stuff? When you're starting to look at those systems, and they are already in place, I mean, so many companies are doing this, the pulse feedback for employee survey or engagement surveys, but also for performance. You've got these tools where you can give feedback to the company and back to the employee as to individual stuff, team stuff, company-wide stuff. All of that stuff's is happening right now. You start to connect that to AI or machine learning, and the machine learning tells you about patterns. Machine learning isn't just, automating everything. It's trying to make things a bit smarter. So the idea is it recognizes patterns. And across our entire sector, we found that people in this particular role keep having this recurring problem. And we've noticed that our L&D system is not picking up on that. And so therefore this recurring problem remains. So how can we add a new element into our L&D program that solves that issue? You know, you will start to see patterns and build it up. That's for larger organizations, but it can also operate just as well for a smaller business, whereby you've got a constant feedback loop happening. The idea being is that annual conversation that's just agonizing for manager and employee, everyone hates it. Maybe you still have it, maybe you don't, but the idea is that conversation is so much easier because everyone knows. And they look at their phone and see, well, these are sort of the expectations. This is where I am at that. Here's the support that I've been given or have not been given. And here are the resources and tools. The idea is you can look at that every single day and know if you're above target, below target, or on target, not in terms of a pure performance management, just a self-feedback loop thing. I think that's a huge opportunity.
So really the more data, the better.
Yeah, just and garbage in, garbage out. So you just don't want people sitting, filling in forms and plugging in fields and stuff. You just want it to be flowing anyway. The HR teams can get that part right, how to remove friction points. Because if you go back to the marketing side of things, companies that do it well, they're trying to remove friction points. Yes, we want to implement this program, but there's stuff that's annoying about it. So how do we pull away those bits, automate them or outsource them, whatever it may be, so that everything is much easier? HR teams that can build that plan, that system, I think that's where you get that fork in the road thing again of opportunity or loss.
You talk about this fork in the road a lot. What I'm also noticing is there's a fork in the road for HR in general. There's a fork in the road where, you know, HR is a system that helps a company maintain its workforce. Or there's an HR that's proactive and actually is at the source of success for a company. I would imagine that most people would want to have or be the HR function that is excelling and causing breakthrough success. How would you advise a person either in HR or who's dealing with HR to actually make that possible, to give HR the power or to take the power to really make the company great?
For me, it comes back to that twin path of operational excellence. Get that right. It frees you up to do the high value add stuff. So at the most basic level, you've got some HR tech that can help you hire people and choose the right people. And then onboard them. So your new starter, all that's connected into an onboarding system. The idea of that is that now you have the space to fill in what sits on top of that in a creative way, in a strategic way. So you've got everything humming along nicely. Now, how do you make that an amazing experience? So a hotel will have a plan, a process, or a checklist for a new guest arrival. They'll say when the guest arrives, fill in this, get their passport, do this, tick, 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 tick. But then they layer on all the experiences, like someone greeting you by name, and then you arrive in, there's a bowl of fruit and sweets just waiting there on the bed or whatever it may be. Little touches. And it's the same with the HR thing. You can get the automation side of things, but then that frees you up to be so much more strategic. So now you've got the confidence that everything's running well. You say, well, we're not Google, but what does Google do? Is there stuff that we want to incorporate? What is it that makes these companies so good? Or when you're at a strategic level, you can be reading the various books in the leadership genre to find out, well, what are some best practices that we could possibly incorporate, keeping in mind our own corporate DNA, if you like, and our approach. That's when you can have some fun. Honestly, there's some amazing stuff you can do, and the leadership group will back you. That's when, you know, you've got the seat at the table because the world's gone remote, global pandemic, everyone's panicking from a remote work perspective. Now you're there. How do you use that to say, right, operational excellence, we know we have to do all these things. We've got that in place. Now, how do we take it up to the next level? Let's make an opportunity out of this. Again, you come into that co-creation. Well, what do we want? What kind of workforce do we want? Do we want them to be innovative? Do we need them to be super accurate and so on because we don't know what they're doing because they're remote working? Or do we say, no, we're going to trust them, and we're going to trust them because we've supported them with this learning and development program and performance goals, and everything's very clear to them because of the systems we've got in place. And now let's free them up to really use their creativity. Creativity doesn't mean go off and be crazy, because you've got structure around it through your HR plan, the systems in place within that, go for it. You know, let's get the best, learn from every different role. We'll have top performers and people who, teams who got things that they can teach other organizations, other teams and other individuals, and really leverage the internal successes and talents of people within that.
So in a way, what I'm hearing is it's more of a quantum fork in the road. You actually need to take both paths. It's really not so much a choice to make as it is both directions are necessary. You need to be great at what you do on the ground at the basics, and at the same time, look for the innovations and the unusual things you can do. We're at that, like, we're in parallel universes here.
For me, it's probably fork in the road is opportunity or loss. The loss is, all right, batten down the hatches. Everyone, I need you to fill in 10 forms, and your boss is going to call you on Zoom 10 times a day, and you need to fill in this timesheet every 10 minutes so we can track all your performance and monitoring. There'll be an annual performance review. Yes, we use HR technology. It's a thing where you book your time off. Not that there's going to be much of that. And so because of the global pandemic, we've cut all learning and development. There's no training courses. The other one says, okay, we're going to take the other fork in the road, which is the opportunity, which says, we've got our systems in place. We've had someone look at every step in that, and we found ways of streamlining it because we know you've been driven crazy by staring at a screen. So we're going to remove elements. We've also found a way to connect this system and this system and this system so they all talk together. So now when you, I don't know, attend a meeting and the notes have been taken, that gets added to the learning development thing that says you've been educated on something. Who knows? And then also we found ways of doing learning development, team building, corporate education, so on, in a connected way that's not overwhelming. We can do this because everything's humming along nicely from an operational perspective, but now from a leadership perspective, from an employee perspective, from an HR perspective, we've all put our heads together and come up with a way to add some magic to every step in the stage. So we've decided we're going to use this as an opportunity.
Doesn't sound like much of a choice. I mean, those two forks don't sound, when you put it that way, right, it sounds like.
You'd be surprised.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you, is like, you've got a lot of experience with your podcast and your business, talking to all kinds of different people. What is going on out there? Are people really still wanting to just shut down and take the safe way?
I think it's my first ever client in an HR consulting role was someone who was worried that she was going to get caught for underpaying her staff. And so I was brought in. I didn't realize this at the time until I got halfway through it and sort of, but there are people who just, they would just want to do the bare minimum because it's about profit margin, gross profit. So if you think of the book, The Fish Rots from the Head, organizational culture comes from the head. There are organizations where it's very much command and control, the timesheet and the clock in, clock out, all that kind of stuff. It happens for operational reasons, but still there are plenty of businesses where that kind of approach is for more than that, I think, anyway. So yes, we've gone to a global remote work, global pandemic scenario, but I'm not sure that was the reason why some companies have become jerks, let's say. I'd say that culture was there in place first. So when you were asking earlier about what can companies do to be proactive and get ahead of the game, some of that's tricky because I think you should do it before the problem hits so that you've got some motion, some forward motion already happening. But I think these companies already had forward motion, but just in the wrong direction. For people, for instance, listening to your show, I think they're not in that group because they're being proactive, right? They're trying to learn and develop and find better ways. And so for them, for people listening to you, this is an opportunity.
What I've really got from you today is this idea that there's two components here. You know, one is the operational excellence piece, and then there's the innovation piece of how can you actually do something different and unusual.
If we take the marketing element of what's in it for me with him, someone listening to this, what's in it for me? Well, your role, if you're an HR person, is to create the biggest impact from the people organization to influence the business results. So to summarize all of that, I think you should be enjoying this time. Look, as in the opportunity that has arisen. So if you're in a running race and you've got all these other companies that are in your sector, and some of them are going to try and take some market share, or they're going to win new clients or customers, whatever it may be, you're all at the starting line, and you know that half of them are not being proactive taking the old command and control approach and not looking at new technologies and ways of improving the systems, then you're already in you've got a lot more confidence starting the race. Once that race starts, you choose to take that fork in the road that we were talking about, where you're looking at the opportunity, and you're just going to be building up lots of 1%. Because I don't think implementing a new employee feedback model or a new productivity model, whatever it may, generally doesn't give you a 20% lift just off the bat, right? It's going to be a lot of these little 1%ers if you can get everything running smoothly and then looking ways to improve each element in your people process to get all those 1% to add up. And gradually, as that race, you know, wears on, you're going to be strides ahead for sure.
Cool, Ben. Anything else you'd like to add?
Check out Innovation Minds, of course, because I think that's the future, as in getting people online, sharing that information. They're online now, remote work. But if you're not capturing learning, knowledge, discussion, and so on, then you're crazy. And that's part of that fork in the road, is to use technology a little better.
Okay, well, thank you, Ben. It's really been a pleasure to hear your thoughts on all of this as someone who's got so much experience. So thank you for being here and sharing that.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity.
This has been At the Edge, a podcast from Innovation Minds. We look forward to hosting you on our next episode, which you can find through the same channel you got here with today. Please join our LinkedIn group where you can discuss every episode. You can find the link in the show notes. We're really glad you were here, and thank you very much from Innovation Minds.